The first reading can be found on page 961 and in the large print Bible on page 1703. We're reading from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in his righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please sit for our second reading, which will be read by Tony.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 25. The reading is on the printed service sheet, but can also be found on page 1025 in the Church Bibles, or page 1810 in the large print version. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well on in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for understanding. Lord, those words we've heard before, they're almost too familiar. So help us to see how your word speaks to us today. Remind us of those things we so easily forget, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. We're starting today to study Luke's countdown to Christmas. It was Steve Turville who last year said, "Can we do a bit of sort of longer studies in one of the Gospels like Luke or Matthew?" So we've grasped that nettle. Verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and also there was his wife Elizabeth. In the time of Herod, that was a really grim time to live. They said about this Herod that you were better off being his pig than one of his sons, because he again and again even killed his own children, his own sons. It was a terrible time to have that man ruling over your land. Their land had been occupied, and he was the puppet ruler of the land. But look on to verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as a priest before God, he is chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Many hundreds were gathered outside, perhaps thousands. What's the background to what was going on? Well, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The background is there are about 18,000 priests, those who were responsible for the sacrifices in the temple and the worship in that land. And yes, these men, 18,000, were called up on a weekly batch. One batch each week were called out to the temple for their duties. And yes, each day, one in the morning and one in the evening, would go to burn incense and offer prayers. Unless one was the high priest on the Day of Atonement, this was the closest one would ever get to the Holy of Holies. It was for Zechariah a career highlight. There'd been no prophet for 400 years, four centuries, where God hadn't spoken. And the context of the nation was so dark with all that was going on under the rule of Herod and people feeling that God was silent. Who here has been to a Jewish Passover? Anybody been to a Jewish Passover? I've been to one a couple of times. A few people have. If you go to a Jewish Passover, you'll sit with a family or perhaps a wider group of people, there's always a spare place left. And nobody sits at that chair. Because the Jewish expectation is that before Messiah comes, one like Elijah would come. And that's why still today, there's still that chair left. Sadly, Jewish people have not realized that Christ has come, and the one like Elijah has come in the person of John the Baptist. Well, imagine it, a lot was taken, and it fell upon Zechariah. Now he'd been chosen. So imagine the excitement, perhaps foreboding as well, as that elderly priest climbed up to the temple. I'm reminded that when God acts, he acts in and through human history. The unfolding of the Lord's big plans does not thereby crush or overwhelm the little plans for each of us. In Zechariah, God was bringing the start of redemption of the world. Verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God." What an extraordinary thing is going on. You see, the name John means God is gracious. And here is the beginning of God showing his grace in different ways. At first, God's grace to a family. That's Zechariah and Elizabeth, verses 5 to 7. And Luke roots his account in a married couple's familiar struggle. And I'm pretty sure there'll be people here who've had this struggle, and perhaps it's never been fulfilled, their deepest desires. You see, they waited and wanted, they tried and tried to have a child. They are now well on in years, and the age means there's another insurmountable obstacle. It seems to block the fulfillment of their hopes. Notice, please, well, I've met once or twice couples who feel their childlessness is a punishment from God for something they've done. It's not here presented as a divine punishment or judgment. No, Zechariah and his wife, verse 6, are righteous in the sight of God. This heavy trial set right next the testimony of their character. Now, God does not promise to deliver us as believers from a life of trouble, although he does rescue us from our sins and us being eternally cut off from God in spiritual death through Christ's death for us. The Lord, friends, does not abandon us amidst the troubles. He works in and through them. And sometimes wonderfully and marvelously, he accomplishes much. He conforms us to God's image in Christ more and more. In this poignant plight of childlessness, well, for Elizabeth, God is present and works to act a miracle of grace to bring blessing where before there was only barrenness. The angel appears, verse 11 and 13. Angels, friends, only appear on really important special occasions. And you think sometimes what you hear on the television or radio, or even here, not in Wargrave School, but in some assemblies, you would never realise that Christmas is a supernatural event. God is at work. And what the good news is the good news of God's graciousness. You see, prayer is not necessarily rejected because the answer is long delayed. And troubles that hit us are often soil in which God's grace can flower. Later on, verse 25, we have this particular thing said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days he's shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." An outpouring of joy. You see, God is working according to his timetable, and we need to entrust all of life to his wise and gracious keeping. Zechariah, however, despite his righteousness, we're told about, is not immune from unbelief. Look at verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well on in years." His age, his grey hair, his crumbling body, his wife's sterility. And Zechariah refuses to accept as certain what God has revealed will come to pass. He questions if God can give him a son. We may come to church to pray, perhaps we receive communion regularly, we read the Bible at home, but still we can doubt God's word. The certainty of his message, and we should have confidence in his promises. I love verse 19. There's Zechariah saying, how do I know it's going to happen? And then 19, the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Supernatural visitation reminds him that God was at work. God's grace to a family. Second, God's grace to his nation. Zechariah is a priest. Elizabeth is descended from Aaron, that great priestly family. And just think about the setting. The hundreds or thousands outside the temple. And yes, the temple where the sacrificial system took place. They're gathered around the temple. It's the heartland of Jewish piety. We're shown by Dr. Luke, faithful Israel at worship. And the point is that the coming of John and the coming of the Messiah who John the Baptist will announce is not a new start from God. This is a flowering of a promise, culmination of all that's been prophesied down the years. It springs from the faith of Israel, not from outside it. Before our eyes is the day God's people have been waiting for down the years. In fact, the carol says, remind us from readings about the waiting for the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. And yes, now God is displaying his grace to the nation. Verse 14, he'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. That's John the Baptist. So he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And yes, he'll turn back to the Lord, those who had wandered from him. It's a glorious thing that God's at work. Here's John set aside for a special role in salvation history. He's consecrated to God, filled with the Spirit, even while in his mother's womb. And his role was prepare people for coming of the Lord. You see, Malachi was being fulfilled. And yes, the promised arrival of one like Elijah has arrived. As Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting for a child, so Israel had been waiting and waiting and waiting for Messiah. But God had not given up on his nation, but was waiting to pour out his grace on them. We still pray, I hope, for the return of those who are Jewish by background to realize the Messiah has come. God's grace to a family, God's grace to a nation. Then, I guess there's nobody here of Jewish... anybody here of Jewish background? Well, this is really important good news for all of you then. Because third, we're told about God's grace to the world. See, John is the herald of a true king. And John the Baptist is a warm-up event for the main event. And Luke does not leave our eye on John the Baptist, but directs our gaze further on to Jesus. The great one, John, is to be totally overshadowed by the coming of a one who is even greater, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be good news for all the people. Well, Zechariah was told his prayer was going to be answered. What was that prayer? It wasn't just for a child. No, the prayer at the altar of incense, and there are examples which have been preserved down the years, was a prayer for peace and redemption. A much greater prayer was answered on that day than just the arrival of John, a son for Zechariah and Elizabeth. No, one who was going to prepare the way was coming. One who was preparing the way for the Christ, the Saviour, the Lord, for him to come in the flesh. Well, Zechariah was struck dumb. He couldn't pronounce the priestly prayer on the people when he came out. And that priestly prayer was the Aaronic blessing. The Lord keep you and watch over you, make his face to shine upon you. It's a familiar prayer. Yet he came out and he couldn't speak a single word. He had to do sign language to show that he'd had some encounter in the temple. And yes, they would have expected that blessing, but the blessing wasn't given by Zechariah. I would believe that Dr. Luke is a very careful historian. And the next time we see the blessing coming is the very last chapter of Luke, and the last three verses at the ascension after resurrection. When he'd led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You can imagine, there was Zechariah expecting to be hands in the air, blessing the people. Couldn't do it, as he couldn't speak. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, called also the great high priest in the New Testament, is God's greatest blessing to the world. And yes, what's answered is, yes, a need for a Messiah for Israel, but also a Saviour for the world. He comes to bless us and bring us peace. Have you realised just what's prophesied, what's spoken of in chapter 1? And yes, verse 25, what's said? The Lord has done this for me. The Lord, for you, has stepped into history. The Lord, for you, has gone to the cross. In our changing, perplexing world, where sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered, we must trust in him and rest secure in his grace, as faithful people have done all down the years. May the Lord help us each to do that. Amen.